Welcome to the Essential Shift Podcast. My name is Laetitia Andrac. If you're a mission-driven entrepreneur looking to grow your soul-aligned business by blending strategy, practical tips, and spiritual wisdom, you're in the right place. Enjoy these conversations about the art of mastering essential shifts in all areas of business and life. Open your heart and mind to all the possibilities that are waiting for you. Welcome to another episode of the Essential Shift Podcast. Today, I am beyond excited to share with you a conversation that's not only timely, but profoundly necessary. I am joined by Louise O'Reilly, who is my own inclusivity mentor, and she's really a force of nature in the realm of inclusion, diversity, equity, and allyship. She really shined the lights on all the bias that I had last year, and this is not an easy work to do, but it's beautiful work, and I can't wait to keep learning from her in 2024. And I wanted to welcome her on the podcast for you to discover her story, be inspired by her work, because in our conversation, Louise sheds a light on what true inclusion looks like, the importance of acknowledging our privilege, and also the marginalized experience, and how businesses can foster genuine diversity and inclusion, which is something I thrive for. She really invites us to examine our own bias and to consider how we can create space that welcome and celebrate diversity. Really listen to this conversation with an open heart and mind. I always tell you that, but if you notice anything that's coming up, please keep your hearts and minds open. And I would invite you, if you love this podcast, to give it a follow, share it with a friend, leave a review. It's really going to help me in 2024 to reach more ears and bring to you high quality guests like Louise. Louise has contributed significantly to her community and beyond. And she has been, you know, a freelance writer for Amnesty International Australia. She has been a radio host. She has been Miss NAIDOC Perth finalist. She is really part of an Aboriginal-led visionary reconciliation project in Bulloo, Perth. So she is really incredible. You will be so inspired by her voice, and her drive is really creating a better world for her children. I don't know how you won't be inspired by this conversation. So without further ado, I leave you to Louise and I. Enjoy. Hello, Louise. Thank you so much for being on the Essential Shift Podcast.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm so excited to start talking a little bit more about our topic and to reach all of your listeners and hopefully get them to think a little bit more about inclusion in their business.
It's such an important topic, especially as we are taking a new turn in 2024, I really find people starting to really understand how important it is to be inclusive in their business. Before we start diving into this topic, which is very close to your heart and which we will go deeper and speaking about, I just want for you to share a bit more about your story and who are you and what is your origin story for your business?
Absolutely, my pleasure. Before I do that, would you mind if I do a really quick acknowledgement of country?
You go ahead.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So I, Louise O'Reilly of the Wadawar Noongar people, would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk people as the traditional and ongoing custodians of the lands and waters on which I'm coming to you from. I'd like to thank them for their custodial role that they fulfill here and show my appreciation for that, and also to pay respects to the elders here and thank them for their community leadership, their love, their guidance, and everything they do. I'd like to also extend that acknowledgement to the custodians of the lands on which you are listening from and pay respects to the elders in whatever titles they refer to themselves on those very special and sacred lands. So that's my acknowledgement of country. In terms of your question, well, where the origin of my business and where we kind of started with my, you know, becoming an inclusion, diversity, equity, and allyship coach is I was born. And when you are born and you are a marginalized person in society, you are very much born in, you are a political being, because people tend to believe that they have a right to tell you how to be, how to exist, how to live, what you have rights to and what you don't have rights to. And those particular rights are very different to your privileged people in society. So I grew up witnessing and really observing that different groups of people were treated very, very differently. And even as a young child, I could recognize there was a difference in way people were treated. And as you can probably tell, I didn't really like or appreciate that. Growing up, I experienced lots of racism. And I experienced a different kind of racism because I don't actually look like I'm Aboriginal. Well, the stereotypical version of Aboriginal, I look Aboriginal because I am Aboriginal. But people's version in their minds of what that might look like isn't what I look like. I have white skin, and I very much resemble my Scandinavian heritage. So I was exposed to racism that people would say when they didn't think that Aboriginal people were around. And it shocked me the kinds of conversations that people had about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. That is really harmful and really hurtful. And you could just imagine growing up struggling with my identity. And because what those kinds of things do is it forms frameworks of beliefs and core beliefs about yourself and who you are growing up when you see how society treats whole groups of people. So in our Australian society, I was told over and over and over again that I'm bad, that I'm wrong, that I'm unwelcome, that I'm not valued, that I'm not important. All those kinds of things kept being, concreted in my psyche and my understanding of my identity. But my heart always has told me I am Aboriginal. That's my culture. That's who I am. And there was such a real struggle because I thought, I feel like I'm a good, kind, caring, considerate person, yet society is telling me I'm this really, really horrendous monster that should not be. So I really struggled with mental health issues as a teen, to the point where I wondered, should I even exist in this space? Because in my own country, in my own home, I'm unwelcome, so I don't belong anywhere. So belonging is a big thing. But then from there, I kind of grew through it and grew my resilience, as so many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander and other marginalised communities do. We grow our resilience and we learn to exist. But then something magical happened. I fell pregnant with my first baby. And it was such a wonderful, wonderful moment. But then I remembered there was this one point, this pivotal moment where I realized that I'm going to birth an amazing little human into a world that is so harsh, that has so much racism, a world that didn't treat me well. And was not good enough for me, is not good enough for any children, not good enough for anyone. And I'm actually bringing a child into this space. So it was in that moment I went, that means I have to change the world. I have to do everything in my power to change how people treat each other. And inclusion is one of those high vibrational kind of things that can help us make a better world together and co-create a better world together. And I focus on the high vibrational stuff. I don't focus on anti-racism. I don't focus on anti-discrimination. I focus about on the thing that we want to create, the inclusion. So that's kind of the origin story that we had. And the rest is basically history. It went from being a hobby on the side of another business to then me realizing this is what I want to be doing full time forever.
And what a gift. What a gift you are to share this wisdom and impart all of us with your learning and your lived experience. I'm so grateful for everything I've learned from you last year and so much more to learn this year. So thank you so much for sharing your story, and I acknowledge you for everything you've done so far. So thank you, Louise. And so for anyone, oh, you're welcome. For anyone who's listening to this and is like, okay, they're talking about inclusion. What is inclusion? Am I inclusive? Before we dive into how they can be inclusive if they're not today, let's agree on what you mean by being an inclusivity coach and helping business owners to make sure they're more inclusive in their ways of running the business, in their ways of being, in their ways of leading, and in the impact they have in their community and in their friendship and through their children and all of that. So let's change Australia. Tell us how.
Let's change the world. So my version of inclusion that I'm talking about is one that deconstructs and dismantles the privilege system. There are these oppressive systems. So you may have heard them being called lots of different things. It might be called the privilege system. It might be called the patriarchy. It might be colonialism. It could be, you know, some colonial imperialism. What else is it called?
White supremacy.
White supremacy, all those kinds of things. So you might have heard them. Now, these are all oppressive systems and whole structures and frameworks in our society that their aim is to other people and to put people in different hierarchical structures to say that some people are better than other people, and therefore, if we believe as a society that some people are just innately better than others, we don't have to treat them as well. So we currently live in these particular structures. They're not the only cultural structures there are in the world. There are more, but a lot of us grow up not realizing that there are other possibilities to exist and other societal structures. So in terms of inclusion, what it does is it recognizes that there are privileged people and then there are oppressed or marginalized people. And with inclusion, what we can start to do is be really mindful and conscious that the lived experience of a privileged person is a very different lived experience of a marginalized or oppressed person. And if we can be mindful of that and listen to marginalized people, listen to their experiences, listen to the social injustices they're experiencing, we can start to look at ourselves and the way we are interacting with the world or interacting with others and start to question, am I supporting a societal system that continues to oppress and mistreat people, or am I behaving or, you know, using my language or operating my business in a way that actually, you know, pushes that away and dismantles that and says, no, 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 I'm not participating in that system anymore. I'm going to make sure that I'm considering the needs, the wants, the desires of people who are marginalized and who are oppressed. I'm doing things in my business to make sure that access to my business is there and they have adequate access to make sure that my business is equitable. So to make sure I'm doing what I can to make sure those people who are marginalized have whatever they require to meet the same level of service or the same level of wellness or the same support that people who are privileged have. So it's really a mindfulness practice to go, who might not have access to this or who might not be considered in a cultural way in this space? And can I do something with my own privilege, with my own platforms, and with my own business to be able to support them so they know that they're valued, that I'm considering them when I'm doing business and operating, and that I care about them and I don't want the systems to continue. I don't want them to continue being marginalized. I want liberation for everyone, and I want people to know, you know, I want my end goal basically is I want everyone to feel safe and free to be themselves authentically in every situation, to know that they are loved, they are cherished, and they are valued. That's my end goal, for people to have that freedom and to be liberated from these systems that get us treating each other really, really badly.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, because it's a way broader definition than the one you will find on the encyclopedia. And it's weaved into your mission, into
yes.
your way of being, your way of life, and the path that you're following and leading the way for your children. So it's very potent and powerful. So thank you for sharing that. So for anyone who is listening to this and like, okay, great, am I inclusive or am I not? Can we help them with either a few questions or starting doing the inquiry? And of course, I'm not asking you to guide them through a bias workshop like you do in your space, and we'll talk about your space after, but just starting to educate whoever is listening to this, feeling a bit uncomfortable. And if you feel a bit uncomfortable, know that it's okay. It's part of the process. And Louise will explain
yes.
with her own words, but keep listening, even though you may feel a bit like, oh my gosh, they said white patriarchy, they said colonialism. I am born and raised in France. I come from this background of colonialism, and it's uncomfortable for me, yet we need to speak about it. We need
yes.
to address those things. It's not by keeping it taboo that we will change the world, which is Louis' mission, and I am an ally to her mission. So really, how can we help them start diving a bit deeper and exploring if they are inclusive or if there are things to work on?
Yeah. Well, I think to start with, I think it's wonderful that you've acknowledged that people may be feeling really uncomfortable right at this point. And I want to share that it's totally normal to feel that. It's totally okay to feel that. We are doing, and it's so interesting, I pulled a couple of cards before I jumped this podcast, and one of them was Shadow Hunter. And this is what we're doing. We're exploring the shadows of ourselves when we're doing this kind of work. So it is absolutely okay for you to feel uncomfortable with this. And to know that even though we may have a family history of colonialism, or we know that our family have participated in some form of oppression, that's not on us. We did not do those acts. So we don't need to feel the guilt and the shame of it. What we can do is recognize that it has happened. We can say it's absolutely not okay to do those things. But we do have a responsibility now of choosing how we behave. And we have a responsibility now of breaking those chains of oppression that our ancestors have created. So that is in a really empowered space to be in, to go, what is done is done, and I acknowledge my family have participated in that, but I'm being the cycle breaker here.
Yeah,
I'm acknowledging that that was not okay, and from this point forward, I'm choosing to do things differently, and I'm choosing to do things in an inclusive way. So a way that you can start off in your business, if this is very, very new to you, is check out things like your feeds on your social media. They have algorithms that are set up specifically to you. No algorithm, no one's feed is identical to another person's feed. So have a look at that and flick through and see, you know, is there diversity in my feeds? So you can do this on Instagram, on Facebook, on your TikTok, whatever social media you're on, and look through and go, does everyone here look the same? Does everyone here have the same culture? Does everyone here kind of have the same kind of belief systems or kinship systems or ethnicities? have a look. Are there black people represented in that space? Are there brown people represented? Are there people from the disability community represented? Are there people from the LGBTQIA plus community represented? And then we can just say, oh, you might go, actually, we're all kind of looking very much the same here in this space. And this is when you can take action to go, okay, well, I'm going to make it different. I'm going to actively seek some diversity to come into my feed so I can hear different perspectives. So I can start to listen about how life is done or experienced differently. And in business, this is really, really powerful to create excellence in business as well. Because when you can recognize people who are in your niche, also are marginalized people, it can make you stand above other businesses in terms of your service you provide, the types of delivery, and just the overall business, because you're actually listening to people who are marginalized. And they're saying, actually, in this industry, this is a real problem for us. And when you go, oh, it's a problem for you, is that something that I can change in my own business to make sure it's no longer a challenge or no longer a problem? And when you do that, that brings more diversity into your spaces. You can also have a look through your own client lists and have a look, is there diversity in those spaces? If your business is inclusive, you will naturally and organically attract diversity into your business. So it's a really good telltale sign on spaces that you need to work in. And with this, I always say, I know I say I'm an inclusion and diversity coach in that order for a reason. Because you must have inclusion and build an inclusive space before genuine diversity flows through to you. You don't create the diversity, that's in a natural byproduct of your inclusion. So to create an inclusive space, you create it with the thought or the idea or the mindfulness that these different marginalized communities, if they come into my space, what do they need from me as a business owner? What kinds of supports do they need? What kind of accessibility do they need? And you build it into your business, whether they're there or not. That way, when people who do come from different marginalized communities come into your space, they go, it's like this was already built for me. And you can say, it was because I wanted you here. I value you. I care about you. And I've got some form of magic for you or some form of medicine for you. And so that's why I've created it in this way. It's really difficult when you build your business in a non-inclusive way and then marginalized people enter your space. It can be really harmful to them. It could be really unsafe for them. But also, as a business owner, then you have to scramble around and try to restructure things. And it really is just not fun for anyone involved. So, we do have a duty of care to our clients and to people who come into our spaces to make sure they are safe. And inclusion is one of those ways that we can make sure we are providing there's a word that's coming to me. It'll come. That we're making sure we're providing safety in our spaces.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for inviting everyone to quickly look at what they are consuming, because definitely the information you're consuming are kind of forging your opinion and your experience. And I love this because it's very applicable, and anyone can just take their phone and scroll through and see. And I know personally, for me, inclusion has been something that I really discovered when I moved to Australia. It's really funny how when I was a leader in a big corporation in France, and it was not necessarily something we're talking about, inclusion, we're talking about diversity. So whether or not it's a topic that is more, towards Australian, or whether we're completely ignoring it when I was working in France. But 10 years ago, when I left the French market, we were talking a lot about diversity and how do we make sure it's accessible for, disabled people, people with neurodivergency, and all of those kind of topic. But inclusion is not really something. And now I love how you put inclusion on the forefront of everything, because definitely if you think about inclusion, then diversity will come into place. So I think it's a beautiful way to frame that. Do you want to add something to what I just said?
Yes.
You want to speak to that? So go ahead. And
I do. That's that. And there are a lot of businesses, and even in Australia, there will be a team that's focused on diversity. And that is because they're missing. And I'm not saying this is the same that happened in France, but this is something that I've witnessed here in Australia, is the focus is on creating diverse spaces. And we can all create diverse spaces, but that doesn't mean they're inclusive.
Mm-mm.
So diversity is having just, let's just say there's a room, right? And it's full of people. Diversity is when you have a room full of people with lots of different backgrounds and ethnicities, and but that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone is valued in that space. It doesn't necessarily mean that people are wanted in that space. And it doesn't mean that whatever activities are happening there are either appropriate or safe for all those people. So when you have inclusion, you already create the space beforehand. So let's say it's like a party, and you go, okay, well, I don't want there to be people sitting at the front and sitting at the back. So let's just create a big round table for everyone to sit at, so that everyone can get in on the conversations and everyone is equally far away from the food in the middle. And but also we got to make sure that there is two spaces available, because there are two people there who will have wheelchairs, so they're not going to be positioned somewhere else. There's already those spaces available ready there. We know they're coming. That's already there. And also we know that there are some people who are vegetarian, and there are some people who are vegan. So we are making sure that we are providing food that is and you know, a decent amount of food and options for those people in the middle, because we've considered those particular things as well. And also we're making sure before no, I won't do that. That example was that would be more like a meeting and not a party to have an acknowledgement at the start. You can do an acknowledgement whenever there is a formal or semi-formal meeting. But in party terms, maybe there's different styles of music from the different cultures. So making sure in our music lineup, we've got a mix of music from different cultures, so that people actually know we thought about them before they even came to this room. So that's the difference between just having diversity and having inclusion. Inclusion means you're actually valued and cared for, and we want you in that space. Diversity often is a checkbox activity to say, yes, we got these different groups of people in the room, but it's not always safe and they're not always wanted.
Yes. And it's definitely how I have felt sometimes, being a diverse person in a space which was not inclusive. So I love this party thing. It's making so much sense for anyone who's listening to this. It's like simplifying it, yet the impact is there. So I just love that. And as you were talking, something dropped into, you know, into my mind, which is, what are the first few things that as a business owner, anyone could do? I don't want to say should do, but I would like to say could do or would like to do, want to do, because I don't want to use a should. You know, it needs to come from a place of, yeah, I really want to do it. Because you notice the difference with a business who do the thing just because, you know, it's good to do it and someone else told me to, whereas mm-hmm. when they really want to do it and they put the energy towards it. So we're talking here about anyone who's listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, Louise convinced me. I'm not sure I'm doing a very inclusive party. I'm doing a diverse party, but not very inclusive. So how can they start making an inclusive party in their business? Maybe one, two, three things that they could start considering, if not applying straight away.
The first thing I would suggest is to invest some time in learning more about inclusion, and inclusion in particular around business, because We don't want to be causing any harm, any further harm or offence to marginalised communities. So we don't want to be like, I'm just going to do all this stuff and then realise actually where we might be causing harm. So it's really important that you do some listening and learning from marginalised communities. So that would be my first step, really, to diversify that feed so you can listen to those stories and hear what those marginalised communities are calling for and asking for. Then I would do things to the business to share that inclusion is something that's on my radar. So you don't have to say you're an expert in inclusion. You don't have to say you know anything, but you can start having conversations to say, look, I've heard about this thing called inclusion and I'm going to start learning more about it. This is what I have learned so far, or this is what this podcast episode has said, or, you know, those kinds of things. So that way it starts telling your audience and telling followers that you are actually valuing inclusion and you are doing what it takes behind the scenes to learn about it, and you are also committed to making changes in your business. So that's a really good kind of next step for it. And part of that presentation of your business, you can do little things like you can add pronouns to your social media platforms. Most social media platforms have them now. That kind of thing, I know a lot of people get a little bit confused, like, why do I need to do that unless I don't identify as a cisgendered person? It is because when you acknowledge that you have pronouns too, because we all have pronouns, it says to people who have pronouns that aren't in the binary, that aren't part of a stereotypical way people would, society expects you to have your pronouns, it says, I see you exist. Even though I align with what society expects of me by the way I was born, I still see you. And that shows people that you value their existence. And the thing with people who are marginalized is we know that we all have the same oppressor. It is all the privilege system. It is all the patriarchy. It is all the white supremacy. It's all the same conglomerate, but it just is about different groups of people and oppressors in different types of ways. So when we see someone who is acknowledging the existence of one marginalized community, we know they're potentially a safer person for us to be around and a safer business for us to work with. But not only that, those of us who are really socially conscious, and the world is becoming more and more socially conscious because we're talking about inclusion all the time, we're talking about human rights all the time, positive social impact, we can then go, I want to work with businesses who are socially conscious, who are socially responsible, who are doing the work to be inclusive. And if you're not doing the work, you don't get my business. If people are not considered equal humans to you, my money is not coming to you. That's the basic thing of it. It's just not coming to you. I'm not working with you. And it's going to become more and more common that this is the way we do it. We are becoming more and more conscious consumers. But not only that, it really does make our communities healthier, happier, more fulfilling when we actively stop participating in that privilege system. And that's the second card that I have pulled, for the which is the Maverick.
I am a Maverick.
Being the people... Yeah, being the people who are not going to put up with the status quo, we recognize that it's not good enough for us, it's not good enough for our children or future generations, it's not good enough for anyone. It is a system that is built to harm people, and we do have the power to change that. Even in our own little space in the world, our own little businesses, they really do have an impact and create beautiful ripples of inclusion beyond what you can even realize and recognize. They do.
I love that. And definitely embracing the Maverick archetype here. And I think many of the listeners that are listening to this podcast are committed to positive impact. And I think what you said for me is part of this, like having a positive impact and calling out when things are not done the way is acceptable, basically. So we are all born equals is something that is in the universal right. So I think it's really important to go back to that. And for anyone who's listening to this, and it's like you've talked about allyship a bit earlier, and I love how you explain. So if you don't mind explaining that topic again, you go to as deep and as little as you want to share. But what is allyship and how can everyone become an ally? Because there is something very powerful in being an ally to marginalized community when you have privilege, rather than just being like, oh, it's not my problem. So can you speak about allyship for us?
Absolutely. So allyship is essentially a commitment that you make to a marginalized community of people that you are going to support them in their advancement. You're going to support them in making sure their human rights are upheld and making sure you're going to support them that they can access things the way they need to have them accessed, that they are going to be included and considered in the way they need to be included and considered. So it is really a commitment to that, and it is based in action. So you can't be an ally unless you are taking action. So with that, businesses can be allies, and I know some of your listeners may be going, but how? That seems like a more of a personal thing rather than a business thing. But we can't separate business from how we exist socially. It impacts our business. The way we are conditioned to treat people is conditioned to in us in a way that how we automatically behave in our business, who we engage with in our business, how we use our language in our business. It's all influenced by that social conditioning. So this is a space where we can do lots of introspection and we can really do our spirituality work on ourselves, exploring within ourselves and going, who am I really? How do I want to show up in the world? And you can start to ask questions like, are these systems of oppression impacting me in the way I am behaving in business or showing up in business? And if they are, what can I do to prevent that from happening, dissolve that, and then move into a more aligned way of being? Because we do have, and this is something that when I work with my clients, we have a particular allyship style that each of us have, which is based on who we are, what our values are, what we're here to do in the world, what things we find important. And so when we can look within self and go, okay, how can I be an ally based on who I am, what gifts I have, what spaces I influence? Because we do need allies. We absolutely need allies. This is not something that marginalized people can do on their own. And one of the reasons is because there is an imbalance of power. Marginalized people have almost no power in society. So if you have a group of people who have no power saying something needs to change, what's the chances that they're going to change? It's probably not very high at all. But if we have allies who can recognize they have privilege, and some of them have massive amounts of privilege, they can say, okay, I recognize within myself I have all this privilege based on these social structures and systems. How can I harness that privilege in a way to support marginalized communities so that their human rights can be met, so that they can have everything that they need to live a joyful, fulfilling life, that they can live in a way that they are safe, and free and liberated? And that is that conscious business owner again, going, what privilege do I have? And how can I use it to support these groups of people?
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. And we're not going to get into more detail of all the work that you're doing, but I know personally, having worked with you last year and keep working with you this year, how you uncover bias as you do this work. I thought I was inclusive and I thrive to be inclusive, but I have so much shit to work on still.
We
And
all do.
yeah, we all do. That's true. Thank you for the permission slip. But it's really important, as you've said, to start discovering your own self and what you really care about. And personally, I started doing this inclusion work because I entered a space where I didn't feel safe. I entered a space which was diverse but not inclusive as a business owner. And I was like, oh my gosh, I hope no one feels like this in my own space. And that's where I started consciously last year doing all this work because I felt like this, and I had felt like this in corporate in the past, but never as a small business owner. And I was like, oh my gosh, if this is also transpiring within the small business ownership, it means that we have way more work to do than I thought we had to leave a better planet for our children. So thank you so much, Louise, for sharing that. Before I let you go, I will ask you the fire question and then we'll go deeper about how people can work with you. Are you ready for the fire question?
Oh, goodness. Yes, go.
Okay, intuition is.
Life came to me.
Wow. Strategy is.
Creation.
Business is
Fun.
something I wish I knew sooner is
It was a whole concept. It wasn't necessarily a word. But the concept that came to me is that I am love and it's okay to always love all of me.
oh, that's so gorgeous. Something I want to share with everyone.
It's love. It is. I love everyone.
You really embody that. You really embody that.
It's love. It's love and freedom. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Thank you, Louise. Those are the five fire questions. And to close this episode, I always love to invite the guests to share how our listener can work with you, be part of your space, start doing the inclusion work. I can only vouch for you, Louise. You've been an amazing mentor of mine last year, and I'm going to be in your space for a long time, as you know, because every time we do something together, I'm like, oh my goodness, what is that unconscious bias coming up again? So, how can they start working with you?
Well, the best way to work with me is in the Inclusion Creators Collective membership, which you're a part of. And I'm so grateful for you to be part of that community, that team. It is the inclusion revolution manifest in that space. And that space I've really created in a very special way to cover all the things that people in business need to be able to uncover those unconscious biases, to really acknowledge their privilege, to look at, okay, how do I harness that privilege and become an ally and become a responsible, socially responsible business owner and leader in those spaces as well. But also have that support from me. So we have the plan, we have the strategy stuff, we have the allied action that is based on your own particular allyship style. But having that support there too, where I have those live calls, you can just jump on and ask me questions. It could be something you've been thinking about for a long time, or it could be something just popped up in the moment that you want to work on. Having that kind of support there, and also having the learning modules that come out as well. So it's a bit of uncovering your unconscious bias. it's a bit of having that support directly from me, coaching and mentoring support for me. It's a bit of learning, but then there's also space for listening to marginalized voices as well, because I have guest speakers from marginalized communities coming in to share their perspectives. So it's kind of a space where you can get it all in one, and I've organized it for you. I've curated it for you. So that is the best way to work with me. But you know, if you're not ready to jump into that, come and say hello on my social media. I do share lots of tips and freebies and all kinds of amazing content for you to consume. So if you're just kind of new to this, that's the first place I would get you to start, is just check out the social media and have a look at all the gems that you can get there first.
Definitely. And you're super generous. I know when you run workshops, Louise runs some workshop for free across the year, and I share them on my social. And I know for many people, they start this work this way. So you're super generous and generous so much again today for sharing your wisdom with all of us. Thank you so much, Louise, for coming. Do you want to share one last thing with us before I let you go?
Well, I definitely want to say thank you. I'm so grateful for this beautiful opportunity to talk with you and to talk with your listeners. But I also want to share with your listeners that wherever you are in this is perfect. And it is a process and it is a journey. And sometimes it feels hard, and sometimes it can be really empowering and liberating. But know you always have support in me. And we can absolutely make the world a better place through your business. So much love to you all.
Thank you, Louise. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning into the Essential Shift podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, leave a review, and even give it a shout out on social media. You can find me at essential.shift on Instagram. Until next episode, blessed be.